Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood, tips and tricks,
products we love,
and brands that we can't live without. Let's get into it.
Happy birthday to you.
Yeah, sing the whole song.
Happy birthday.
Cheers, mate.
It's your birthday while we're recording this.
It's my birthday. I've had such a lovely day. I've got to be honest with you. You know, when you get older, birthdays just aren't that, they're just like not a thing, are they? You kind of.
No, I know what you mean.
And you're just focusing on other things and you don't. Also, when you've got children, you kind of never really indulge or spoil yourself that much, do you? But today,
no.
Yeah. I obviously was on the early, I think the early shift. My alarm went off at 2 o'clock this morning. Great. But like bounded out of bed because I was like, yes, I put my snazzy silver jeans on. I was like,
I love those jeans.
Oh, they're fun, aren't they? And then went into work and there was a cake there and I just saw all the team and obviously Ashley Roberts, she's like a lovely friend and she gave me a nice big socially distanced elbow pump and, you know, it was just like
yeah.
A really lovely moment. And then when I got back at like 7:30, the kids, the welcome that I got from the kids, I put it up actually, it was just lovely.
I literally just watched it. It was so sweet.
It was just sweet. And then we had birthday breakfast. Dilda and I went for a run. We had smoked salmon, poached eggs, a glass of champagne. Just lovely.
Oh my God, that's like the dream. That's such a nice day.
Well, the kids really were at school or preschool today, so there wasn't a child in sight.
Oh my God, that is so nice. And and you did have a nap, didn't you? Or did you?
Yeah, not? I've sort of been napping watching The Crown. Have you been watching it?
No, do you know what? I'm really bad with telly, like TV recommendations. Like I literally like watch Gossip Girl and that's
Georgia.
It. I'm starting This Is Us. Have you watched that?
Yeah, yes, of course. I mean, I've completed it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I'm just starting that now. So I'm like 5 years behind probably because it's like 8 seasons.
Tell me that you've seen some of The Crown. No.
I haven't even started The Crown.
Okay, hold on a second. I've got to pop out with something. Beep, beep, beep. Bye. What?
Sorry, I know. I do need to get with it and start watching more Netflix.
Are you watching The Undoing on Sky?
No, but everyone in the world is, so I will. I will start watching
that we're actually friends.
I know. Do you know what? You know, I'm the person, like, in my like group of friends from school WhatsApp, they all start talking about TV and I just check out and then I jump back on when they start talking about like makeup or something. And they just know that they'll lose me for half an hour and then I just jump back in. But I am, no, do you know what? Since lockdown, I am actually getting more into TV and sitting down and watching stuff. So, you know,
I've got a good friend called Ben, and every time I talk about like cinema or film or whatever, he sort of his eyes start glazing over.
That's me.
I'm like, oh, you know, Dirty Dancing or, you know, Scarface. Or he's like, oh, what's that? What's Scarface? What is Scarface? I mean.
I'm with Ben on it. I'm with Ben. I glaze over and I'm like, unless it's like Gossip Girl 90210 when I was like 21 and watched TV, it's not a thing anymore.
Well, I'm sorry, but we've spent 3.5 minutes discussing not the most important thing that's gone on today. What have you done with your morning?
So this is why I don't watch Netflix, because I've been at a wood yard today.
This is the most unlikely Georgia thing that I've ever seen you do.
Well, I mean, I do end up in these places. Like, Judgy James is so particular about certain things that, you know, he wouldn't just go on the internet, you know, order some shelves and then put them up from IKEA. No, we have to source the wood from, you know, from where it's grown, chop the tree down. pick the piece of wood. So that's what we were doing today. We were literally like in the middle of nowhere. Yeah, it was really nice actually. And it will go, like, if you've seen my table on Instagram, it's like that live edge. It basically just looks like a tree's been cut down and then we put legs on it like that. So yeah, and we took Gigi with us and the man was pretty horrified when she was there, like walking around, right, all the saws and like all these massive like pieces of equipment. She's just walking around going,
did you play with saw? No.
So, you know, it was a nice morning out, but I don't know, I'm really into the home stuff at the moment, aren't I? So
okay,
I'm
well, if you're listening to this and you think that Georgia needs to start Made by Mama's home accounts, then please drop us a direct message, because I mean, I don't think she's juggling enough at the moment with the woodyard visits, you know, and parenting and the house interiors and the business. It's not enough. So let's chuck in interiors account.
Let's just add something else for me to not watch. So then I definitely won't watch Netflix. In case I was just about to start, I won't.
Oh, mate.
But do you know what? We're chatting to someone now, aren't we, who is juggling a lot, 5 children.
I mean, that's kind of what I was sort of leading into, is the fact that we think we're juggling a lot with 2.5, 3. This lady has got 5 of them and, you know, works really, really hard. They run a really busy life. And one of her children has got autism. So Georgia and I really wanted to open up this discussion. We've been having the discussion personally for a while, thinking who would be the right voice in this space. And today, Georgia, we are chatting to...
We are chatting to Jade Arif, otherwise known as Mother of All Adventures.
So, welcome to Tuesday's episode of the podcast. I was going to save this intro, but actually, having just chatted to this wonderful woman, I'm just going to do it in front of her and embarrass her. Georgia and I have been following her for a very long time on socials. She is a mum to 5 children. Yeah, count them, 5. She's very vocal about the fact that one of her children has autism. She's become a real sort of spokesperson in that arena. And this is a subject that we really wanted to cover. So we are absolutely over the moon today to be chatting to Mother of All Adventures, aka Jade Arif. I know it's Arif. We're going to start calling you the posher version. Jade, how are you?
Yeah, no, I'm good. I'm good. Thank you so much.
Did you like that?
I love that.
It isn't Arif, is it? Or is it Arif? Which one is it?
No, it is Arif, but Arif sounds so much better.
I think you should go with Arif. I mean, I love that.
I'm going to start calling myself Arif, Jade Arif.
Was it Hyacinth Bouquet that you and it was Bucket?
Yes, Bucket. Yeah. Can you just give us a little insight into what life with 5 children is like?
Oh, God. Yeah, so it is absolute hecticness, but it's honestly the best life. Like, I've always dreamed of being like a mum of like a million children. And I've got a friend actually, and she messaged me the other day and she was like, "You're the only 6-year-old that I knew that would stop mums with their babies to have a look." And I was like, I used to literally stop mums when I was about 6 and just look at the babies. So it's something that I've always, it's just in me. But it's brilliant. Like, it's challenging, it's heartbreaking, it's fun. Oh my God. I think it's just every emotional roller coaster you could think of.
So did you grow up with a family, you know, in a big family? Was this something that you said you always wanted? Did you know from a very young age that being a mum was kind of your mission in life?
Yeah, I just always knew, like, if anyone used to say, like, "Oh, like, what do you want to be?" I always used to say a mum, which is so weird as a kid. But I've just always wanted it. But I've not come from, like, a huge family. I've got 2 sisters. So it's not like we had this big family and it was, like, built into me. It's just, I suppose it's just the way I am. I'm a Cancerian, so maybe that's got something to do with it. I don't know. It's just the way I live.
When you met your husband, was he on the same page as you?
I think I might have had to force them a little bit, to be honest. And to be honest, he probably would have stopped at like 2. But yeah, you know, as time goes on and they get a little bit older, then you bring in another baby and he's like, oh yeah. And he's like, should we stop now? And I'm like, no.
But that baby stage, that new, if you're used to having new babies in the house, it is very addictive. Like my husband's quite similar. He's obviously got 3. I've birthed 2. But I, you know, he would definitely want to go again if we could.
Oh,
and I
really?
Think he would just keep going. He just loves having a little baby in the house.
I know. It's just that little bit of magic, isn't it? And actually, I was saying the other day, this is the longest time, like, I've not been pregnant. Like, by now, I would have been pregnant with another one. Because Forrest is 2 on Sunday, which I cannot believe he's going to be 2. But normally I'd be pregnant.
And he's your youngest, isn't he?
Yeah. So I'm a bit like, oh my God, I'm not pregnant for the first time in like 4 years.
Just enjoy it. Just enjoy it, Jade.
I know.
Jade, we wanted to chat to you so much today, but obviously Georgia and I, you know, we've been following your journey on Instagram with regards to your son Ralph and his autism, and you know, as I said, this is a subject that we've really wanted to have a conversation about. Neither of us have any experience with it apart from my sister's partner's son, so that's my kind of only real kind of exposure to it, I guess. And I just wanted to kind of cast your mind back to the moment that you thought that Ralph was special.
Yeah. So the first time that I noticed something was when he was about 2. I just had Edie, and actually the health visitor was still coming to see Edie. And so that was my opportunity to bring up to her that I'd noticed these little things with Ralph, which were high-pitched screaming, which he still does now, which is so scary sometimes. He scares the hell out of me. And biting himself, he would pull his hair, and just little things I mentioned to her. And she would then start coming for like an hour once a week and just kind of watch him in his play, or watch how he acted if I told him not to do that, or we were going to do this or not doing this. And that was the first time when he was about 2, I started noticing little quirks with him.
And did you sort of find it hard? Because obviously you'd had other children who didn't have autism.
Yeah.
And did you find it hard, especially like in public, to deal with, you know, as you say, like high-pitched screaming and just kind of the different behaviour?
Yeah. So do you know what? It's not until probably 2 years ago was when the public stuff started happening. So like, the first time that it happened to me was on a train, and we used to go in and out of London all the time, but it was like all of a sudden he hated it, and we would get on the train and he would just scream from the moment we got on to the moment we got off. As soon as we stepped off, he stopped completely. And this was every single time, and also the bus as well. He used to do it on the bus. And this is before the school got involved and before anything, we knew anything at all. And I was so confused. I remember coming on stories and just being like, can like anyone help me? Like, this is what he does. And it was hard, because you would get some people looking at you and kind of shaking their head in like disapproval. Or I had an old man say to me once, he just went shh like that. And that just, you know, it's heartbreaking, because you kind of want to turn around and say, oh, shut up.
Yeah, of course you do. Go away, don't comment on my child, thanks very much.
Yeah, exactly. And do you know what it is? When Ralph is in that moment, there's no getting him out of it. Like, he will, I mean, most of the days at school, when we finish school, he has a meltdown coming out. And when I say meltdown, this is when you have a child with autism or any other special needs, a meltdown is truly a meltdown. And it doesn't mean like a little tantrum, it is a full-blown meltdown, and there's nothing you can do about it. You can't bribe them out of it with sweets or anything like that. You've kind of just got to ride with it, and something will just switch him out of it. It will just be a word with Ralph, something, we'll just say something, and all of a sudden he's like, oh yeah, okay then, and he gets up and that's that.
Jade, I just want to go back because I feel like we've jumped on a bit. I want to go back to when Ralph was two and the health visitor was coming round. And what were the sort of steps that you had to go through? And when was the word autism suggested to you?
Right. So with the health visitor, she agreed with me. She said, yeah, I can see what you're saying, but he's too young for any kind of diagnosis or any kind of referral. You have to wait until he starts school. And I was thinking, school, that's like 3 years away. Like, that's so long to wait. And then you're kind of left just waiting then, basically, like, and dealing with the behaviour that comes with it and not knowing anything, which is really, really difficult because people around me just brand it as naughty because there's no kind of explanation of why he's like that. And that was probably the hardest bit, is just the weight of getting the ball rolling. But when he started preschool, he literally only went to preschool for like a month, I think. But when he was there, they actually picked up on stuff, and he used to hold food in his mouth for like an hour. So he'd have eaten like his lunch and he would be playing, but he would have this pocket of food like under his tongue. And he still does it now. Like, he'll talk with it and everything in his mouth. And you've got to say to him, you have to swallow, because he just won't swallow. And, that was like a kind of an alarm with him as well, the food thing. But also when it was time for him to leave preschool, it would be a massive meltdown. So that's when it got a little bit more. He would do a little bit more that we were like, that's not quite right. But, it was all a waiting game, though, really, until we started school.
So I guess now you know, obviously, a lot more and a lot more of the signs. Just for anybody listening who might sort of have noticed a couple of bits of behaviour that they don't feel is quite right, what are the actual signs? So you mentioned like the biting and then obviously like things like holding food in your mouth. But what are like, you know, the most common signs, I guess?
Do you know what? It's so hard to tell people what a sign, like, get to give them a sign, because each child is so different. So for example, like, one child might not say a word, they might be mute, and that could be their sign, like they stop talking. I think, Zoe, you said your
a very good friend of mine actually rang me the other day to say that she's really worried about her son because he was talking loads.
Yeah,
he's 2.5, he'll be 3 in January, I think it is. He was talking loads, and he's basically now mute, and he just sort of shouts out like really loudly, but doesn't, and he's really not very good at affection either. And she's so devastated because she doesn't know what to do.
And where to go
and who to talk to. And she says she feels quite alone and doesn't really know what's going on.
Yeah. It's really lonely because, like you say, you don't know, because I'm still kind of in that mode. Like, I don't know how to deal with it still, and am I using the right words to explain him, and am I saying the right words to him? It's just so difficult. But also with the signs as well, like, quite a lot of people think children with autism aren't loving and aren't
it's a common misconception, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not true, because Ralph is the most loving child and he loves to give kisses and stuff. I remember when I raised the issue with my family, it's like, oh yeah, but he's really loving though, he can't have it. And I'm like, but to be honest, that was me. That's what I thought as well. And that's what I thought was a sign, if they don't look at you and if they don't like cuddle.
Yeah, the eye contact. Yeah. I always thought the eye contact was a sign.
Yeah. And you know, it can be, but not all children are going to be like that. Yeah. It's a really, really difficult one. If you know, because I said to you, Zoe, earlier, it was almost like all of a sudden I got given a new child, because he was completely different to how he was, say, 2 or 3 years ago. And that's what it's like. You all of a sudden notice that it's a little bit more challenging, or they don't like to do what they used to do, or they're finding it hard to listen to change and things like that. So it's so difficult because everyone's just so different.
What sort of assessments are done on a child at that stage? So they told you that they had to wait until he went to school, and then at that point, what sort of care does he get, and do they put him on a spectrum? That's a word that I've heard before.
Yeah. So basically, so when he started reception, obviously when you first start, they ask you if there's anything that you're bothered about so they can keep an eye on it. And obviously that's where I raised my concerns. Yeah. And it was probably about a month and they came to me and they said they've noticed some other stuff as well as what I've said. And so that was the first initial thing, like, oh my God, I'm not actually going insane, because they've noticed other things as well. So what they did first, before any kind of assessment went on, they actually then gave him a weighted blanket in school. And that was first little thing that they did. They gave him a weighted blanket because it stopped him getting a bit anxious and screaming out as much. So when he was on the carpet, they gave him this white blanket. And they said that seemed to really, really help him. But the school, which I didn't realise, the school actually get in contact with like the doctors, they get in contact with the paediatrician. And I didn't realise they did all that. Like, it was really new to me and really like, oh, like you get in contact with his paediatrician, which was really like weird for me.
Reassuring, though.
Yeah, because do you know what it is? Ralph was premature. He was born at 30 weeks. And we were actually pulled into a room when he was born and was told a number of things that could happen to him when he was younger, what he could get. And autism was one of those things.
Really? Right. And was that to do with him being premature? Or?
Yeah. So when he was born, he suffered a brain hemorrhage.
Right.
So he had a bleed on his brain. And so they said all these different things. They said that like he could get epilepsy, autism, Tourette's. So there were so many things they said to us. I mean, thankfully, he's not had any other issues apart from this. So, it can be linked to him being premature.
And how do the other children at school kind of react if he has, like, as you say, like a meltdown, or, you know, has some behaviour which isn't the norm to the other kids?
So when he's actually in his classroom, he does do his high-pitched screams. And, I mean, yesterday, Melly, my six-year-old, came home from school and apparently they FaceTime each classroom in the morning to say good morning, because they can't have their
assembly.
So they FaceTime each classroom. She FaceTimed Ralph's class and she said when the teacher had the phone pointing to the class, she said Ralph was stood on top of the tables. That's like, she said, and all my class started screaming and laughing. She said, and Ralph was just jumping on the tables. I was like, oh my God. But I think they kind of just ignore him, to be honest. I think they're used to him. But this is Ralph's second year in reception. He actually got held back to redo reception.
Right, okay.
Because he just wasn't ready for year one. He wasn't ready to move up or to be at table learning.
Jade, do they have like a plan for him in terms of where he is with his autism? So would they be looking forward to the future in terms of level of like extra care at school, longer time in exams? Is it something that he is going to be able to manage absolutely fine? Like what does the future look like?
So at the moment, because the first thing that we've done to kind of look at the future was to hold him back in a way, because if we had put him into year one, it would have damaged him a lot more, I think, because he can't write his name. He can just about like draw a smiley face. You know, he can't read. He's very behind than what his other the other children in the class were. So if we had put him forward, that would have probably damaged his school life going forward even more. So holding him back was the best decision that we've ever made, to be honest. And he's getting on so well. He was kept back with the same teacher, so he knew her and he knew the classroom. He does get one-on-one sometimes, but at the moment I think what we're doing is just seeing how he gets on in reception this time and see if he's ready for year one again. Not that they would hold him back again, but then that would be the time to think, right, he's still not at that year one stage yet where he really should be now. Right. So I think that's where it would be, let's look further on to see what we could do then.
We'll be right back after the short break.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
So welcome back, back to this episode of Made by Mamas. Where were we?
How do you feel about having an autistic child? And that isn't me wanting an answer. That's genuinely, you know, we're interested to sort of see how you coped with it and the feelings that you had around it and whether you kind of, you know, just took it or whether it was a real kind of moment for you in your life.
Yeah. So I think I took it a lot better than Cirx because I always had that little inkling, whereas Cirx was completely oblivious and just like, oh no, he's fine, which is common actually. Apparently it takes the dad a lot longer to get on board with it all, but it wasn't until it started getting really hard where I'd like have my breakdowns and cry and think, how the hell am I going to do this? Because, you know, when he's difficult, he's really difficult. And I mean, he bites me, he hit me, he tells me like I'm the worst person in the world, he hates me. And those are the times where it's like soul crushing and it's like, oh. But then straight after, he's, you know, he could have punched me in the face, but straight after he'll come and he'll hug me so hard and for so long, it's almost like he's saying sorry.
Yeah.
Which, oh my God, I'm going to cry. It's because it's so real and it's so hard.
Yeah.
Because it's not him.
Of course.
And that's where it's so difficult because he's being so outrageous and such a handful sometimes that you could just scream.
Yeah.
And you could just be like, will you just stop? Like, just, I mean, I'm sure I've said it. I'm sure I've just been like, can you just stop? Just stop it. But you can't because he can't stop it.
And he doesn't understand.
Yeah. And that's probably the hardest bit. Like, he can't stop.
And how, I mean, you've got five children.
Yeah.
So having, I guess, a child that needs probably a bit more attention, how is that, and do you find it difficult, you know, with your other kids if they need you as well, to sort of manage him?
So when especially like if he's having a moment and my full attention has to be on Ralph, and you know the other kids are used to him having these moments, so sometimes they still come up to me and like try and ask me questions or show me stuff, and I have to say to them, look, oh, hang on a minute, mummy will look in a minute. And I feel so guilty because then maybe they might forget what they were going to show me. And sometimes I'm like, oh, this is hard. But they are just amazing. Like, they're so understanding. And Theo, who's my eldest, he is so calm with him. And he's probably the one that snaps him out of things more than anybody else. Because he's so understanding, he will say, come on, Ralph, let's go and do this, or let's do this, and he's sitting in his room with him, and they're really amazing. They all understand about Ralph, and, you know, they know what's the matter with him, and when he have these moments, they know he doesn't mean it. So, yeah, they're so good.
How incredible that your firstborn has stepped up to do that. Oh. There's something quite special about that. I felt that when you were saying it, you know, that actually he's got an understanding and he's almost looking after you. That's really lovely.
And you know what Theo does as well? Like, he sees if I'm kind of like, you know, I'm tired and I've had a bit of a rough time with Ralph that day, or like I've had to really drag him home from the school run because Ralph does not walk home easily from the school run. And, you know, Theo will do things like he'll make me a cup of tea or he'll take Ralph upstairs to play with him. And yeah, he's just such an attentive big brother. And
it's a team effort.
Yeah, I just feel so lucky that he is such a good boy. And he's quite, it's weird because Theo's a younger age, like minded 13-year-old, but then he does stuff where I'm like, that's so mature.
Yeah,
it's incredible, isn't it, actually? But yeah. They just sometimes they just have an insight into something. Kids are so uncomplicated, and actually they see things for what they are, and he probably just knows you need him. It's lovely.
It's really amazing.
How have your mates been, Jade, and how vocal have you been with them? What sort of support have you needed, I guess?
I mean, I don't have many mates, to be honest.
Oh, Jade! Oh,
yeah, your mates. We'll be your mates.
Do you know what it is? My manager is like my best friend. Like, I don't know what I would do without her because she will ring me. I don't see her a lot because obviously lockdown and crappiness. But she's my rock. Like, she's the one that I will talk to about everything. And if I'm having a down day, she'll ring me and she'll just be like, look. And she always makes me feel better, like, no matter what. And she's been amazing with Ralph. And, like, when we've gone on days out and stuff, like, obviously pre-lockdown, she's always just been so good. And she'll always just, if he's having a moment, she'll help me. And she's just, she's just amazing. And, like, my mum and my sisters don't live near me. They live in Devon still. So we, as in like me and Sax, we don't have any like support up here. Like it's just us. And
where do you live, Jade?
So we live in Welling at the moment.
Where's Welling?
Oh, just outside of London, but like it's like Kent, London, you know? It's like
I know. Yes, I know where that is.
You're near G. You guys,
you are quite near me. Yeah, you are. I'm Essex.
Oh yeah,
not I'm Brentwood. Yes, oh, we yeah. are. We're not. Do you think that you know, having a big family does impact, you know, your ability, like your chance to meet friends? Because I've got two kids, and I find it difficult. Like I find it difficult to, you know, be the mum, be the wife, have a career, and then have time for your mates. Of course.
It's so hard. And also, I always find it really like awkward if you meet up with a friend who's got one child and you've got five. I always feel really bad. I always feel really bad. Like if we get invited to like a birthday party, I kind of say no because I just don't want to take all the kids because I feel bad. One, they have to like provide five different things. And then two, I'm like, what if they just all go mental? But yeah, it is hard like meeting up with friends and stuff because firstly, you've got to get on and travel with all of them and go somewhere because I do not drive, which is like the biggest mistake of my life.
It's never too late, Jade. Come on.
I'm on the emails at the moment. I've just started to talk to a driving instructor, and when it again, I'm starting to learn to drive because
amazing.
Because the reason I am doing it is because of Ralph, because it will be an easier and much calmer transition for him getting him to school and going places, because other than the weekends when Sax is home, it's all public transport or walking with him, and he does not like any of it. So,
but also, Jade, for you. Yeah. For you, because you can get in the car, you can put the music on, you can drive off into the sunset and say, see you later, fuckers. You ain't coming back.
I know. Sax can do that anytime. I'm going to go and get some milk. I'm like, we don't need milk. We've got 4 pints in the fridge.
Oh my God. What are the shopping bills like?
Oh my God, babe. They are horrific. Right. So we always do like a weekly shop, like a massive weekly shop on a Sunday, which is about £250. But we buy something every night as well. So every night we will always need to get more. Yeah. So really our weekly shop will probably be about £400 because
Oh my gosh, such a lot.
But that's not even like counting like takeaways or like food when you're out. That is literally just like the household shopping. And when you need like all the cleaning products on the odd shop as well, that just mounts up as well. So
wow.
Oh well, if you get into Spruce, Jade, you only need one cleaning products, get rid of all the other plastic, and they just send you refills in the post.
Oh, really? Do you know what? I'm sure I looked at that the other day.
I'm going to send
you a link. Really yeah, it's really good. It's really good.
Because I'm really, really fussy as well with what we use.
Jade, we wanted to talk to you quickly about negativity online because we met you once a while ago and it was something that came up in conversation. I don't know if you remember it around the lunch table, but is it something that you have to deal with? And if the answer is yes, why do you think you get it?
So, yeah, I get it quite a lot, to be honest. Well, I don't know if it's quite a lot, but it feels quite a lot to me. Like, I'm sure some other people get it way worse.
Yeah.
It's too much for me, if you know what I mean. Like, it would be okay if it was like once a week or something, but it's like quite a lot and it's very offensive stuff. So I remember one comment that was made was, oh, I really want her husband to leave her with all those kids. And I was like, what? I was like, oh, why would you even say that? Like, it's just such weird stuff.
Yeah, do you think people take offense to the fact that you've decided to have a big family?
Yeah, like I'm sure that some people just think, oh, well, it's just not right. Or why is she doing that? Because, I mean, a comment that I get quite a lot as well is they think Cirque pays for everything. You know, I've posted once that I've got myself a daily sleep address. My God, that was horrific to them. Like Cirque bought me that apparently. He works God knows how many hours to pay for my lifestyle that I don't really have. And yeah, it's just all this weird stuff that goes on and the kids have got their faces and oh, I don't know.
How do you deal with it, Jade? What do you do?
I cry a lot. So I'm not one of these people that can read a comment and laugh and be like, oh, well, I'm just not like that. I'm such a sensitive person. I will read the comment and I will cry and I will dwell on it for a week probably. And then I will be over it. Once I've cried and dealt with it and cried some more, I'm okay. But that's just me. Like, I'm not like one of those people where I can forget what people say. Like, I remember everything people say to me. And that's just how I am. Like, I wish I was one of those people that could laugh at it and be like, oh, well. But I'm not. I'm one of the people that have to kind of dwell on it, I'm afraid.
Do you know what, Jade? I'm exactly the same as you. Because I don't receive much negativity and fingers crossed any negativity in my life, if I get the odd comment, that's the comment that sticks in my brain and that's the comment that I'll think about when I'm in the shower or, you know, I remember once a lady just sent me, she screen grabbed a photograph of myself and she went, what are you? Yeah, you skinny bitch. Are you anorexic? And I was anorexic, really badly anorexic in my 20s. Yeah. And I've spoken about my anorexia. Mm-hmm. And it's the fact that people feel like because you are on social media that they can call you out on stuff and send negativity. It's such
weird. Mainly what it's about, it always is about looks with the troll. Yeah. Like, I don't know if you saw my thing about my teeth. So they just went, I had gum disease, really severely bad gum disease, and I've just gone through treatment to and it's amazing how better it is. But anyway, they for about a good couple of months they just kept gunning for me about my teeth, how gross they were and how disgusting I looked, how I needed to get my teeth fixed and everything, you know, anything I did they were like, or like anything I bought they're like, why didn't you use money to get her teeth done instead, or blah blah blah. And then it was, oh, I bet she's getting her teeth done for free. And, you know, you can't do any right, to be honest. But it's always looks-wise. It's always what I'm wearing or what my hair's like or how that I should look. Or, you know, it's just, it's really stupid, like, meaningless stuff. But it hurts either way. But
block.
I know, yeah.
And also, you have to remember, like, I always say this to Zoe, actually. For somebody to be that nasty and that mean to send a stranger a message like that on social media, I'm sorry, but how sad must their life be?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, seriously, I don't even have time to message people I like.
I know. I don't know.
Like, let alone have time to pick at someone's hair that I don't know. Like, I just find the whole concept so odd.
Yeah, it's just, the thing is, I mean, we've had it so many times, like, people can't deal with it. And when people can't deal with it, they go downhill very quickly. And you know, like, it can end in devastation. And I just think they need to wake up and realize how much damage they're actually doing.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But they don't. They just carry on regardless. So.
Well, we want to do is spread love and positivity. So if there's any negativity, Jade, hit that block button, which is what we do, and then we just get on with our lovely days. Because
get on with the day. Exactly.
Jade, what is the best piece of parenting advice that you've ever been given, or that you would give a new mum or dad?
So what I will forever say is trust yourself, and, you know, don't listen to other people. I mean, people will always be there to say, oh, well, I did this and why don't you try this? But you will know what is right, because nobody's you, nobody's your child, and you will always know what's right for yourself. So yeah, just trust in yourself and you'll do amazing, because yeah, it's built in you.
Yeah, no, that is a great piece of advice. And, you know, seeing as you are literally the mum of all mums with five children, what are your, like, die hard products, the products that you've used on, you know, all of your kids or that you're loving right now?
Yeah, so as a baby, the one product that come in really, really handy is the snot sucker.
Oh yes.
Honestly, is the best product, because all mine get like, when they're really tiny, like weeks old, they always get this really snotty nose for some reason. And this snot sucker, honestly, yes. I don't know what I'd do without that.
Like, that yeah, is the snot product. Sucker. We love that. Yeah.
That is
I
a
mean,
good
they
one.
Wouldn't let me use it on them when they're like five. But yeah, that is the best one. Definitely the buggy board. For me,
yes,
that is like a must for me, because there's been times I've put three in like the pram. Well, I don't know how I've done that, but the buggy board for sure. The mirror for the car, you know, the one that goes on the car seat.
Yes.
The peace of mind. That is amazing. You know what? The buggy, I've literally had every buggy brand going, and my most favorite buggy brand is Mountain Buggy.
Mountain buggy, but yeah,
that's my favorite. I will say, actually, that's my favorite double buggy, because it's so small, but it's so amazing. It's so light. It fits out of a single like door.
Oh, that's good. Yeah,
it's so good. Like, that is, whenever someone says, "What double pram did you have?" Like, the mountain buggy was by far my favorite ever. And then the sleepyhead. I couldn't live without my sleepyhead.
Yeah, we're big sleepyhead fans as well.
We love the sleepyhead.
Because it's not just for like when they're in bed asleep, it's when like you're downstairs, like on the sofa, you can put them in there, or like on top of the worktop. It's just so
Or going for a shower, you can pop it in the bathroom, still
it's
see
so
them.
So handy.
Yeah,
there's so many brilliant things, isn't there?
Jade, thank you so much for coming on. It was an absolute treat to chat to you.
Thank you. Oh no, thank you.
Oh, she's amazing. She really, really is. I'm so pleased that we've had that conversation with her. I reckon that's going to help a lot of people, because you know what? Like, we all go through those behaviour, you know, the behavioural issues that we have with our children. We all go through them. And at what point do you start thinking, hang on a minute, something's not right here? And it's the line is quite fuzzy. I mean, I'll share this with you. I didn't say it when we were chatting to Jade, but there have been moments where Dozer has turned around to me and was like, are these tantrums that Luna's, you know, doing, are they normal? You know, he has said that to me. I don't know if James has ever, or you've ever mentioned it to James, but sometimes they feel so stratospheric, you don't know how to cope with them.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think as well, like, it's probably not a relief when, you know, you find out that, there is something more going on. Yeah. And the reason why you're finding this really, really difficult is because there is some, you know, there is a problem. But also, I mean, just listening to her talk about what she sometimes in public and how people react to what's going on, I just think it's really, really tough. We've all been there, but you know, that they're once a month, twice a month, that kind of thing, not every day on the school run or every pickup.
I just
can't imagine. But it sounds like her older children are absolute heroes. And they all step in and help her.
And also, I couldn't believe when she was talking about her online online abuse and the online, like, almost online bullying that she receives from people. I think it's absolutely disgusting. Like, she's got, nobody deserves that kind of stress or anxiety. People need to stop that. I mean, none of our lovely listeners do anything like that, but there must be some people in the world that just get behind the keyboard and think, my sole purpose today is to upset somebody else to make myself feel better, and it's horrible.
It is. It really is horrible. I mean, Zoe, we talk about this, you know, on the podcast, but those people must be very unhappy in their own lives. I mean, I think I've said it before as well. Like, we barely have time to speak to people that we like and say the nice things to people that we want to say to them, let alone, like, have the time or inclination to say anything horrible. So we have zero time for that.
Although I did experience something quite funny today where I posted a photograph of myself and Kit like having like a loving and a kissing, you know, like we were just, that's a lovely photograph on my personal
I've seen it, it's beautiful Instagram,
and I basically said, you know, if anybody's feeling blue today, I just wanted to know that I want you to know that there's still loads of love in this world and I'm going to carry on spreading it. And this guy that's got this foot fetish sent me a message going, I really hope you carry on spreading them or spreading it or something. And I was like, oh God, I'm talking about my son, not my legs. I was just really, really, I was like, okay. I just don't respond to those things. I definitely never respond. Because when he messages me going, nice feet, I just, it makes me
know, I didn't realise that this foot fetish thing was such a thing.
Oh my God,
but
yes,
it really is. It really is. I remember years ago, like years ago.
Here we go,
we've
gone off on a tangent now.
Having a message about it, like, can you send me a photo of your feet? Like, what? Like, I literally, at this point, I was literally posting photos of probably like my breakfast and Axel, you know, like probably didn't even have my face on my own Instagram. And James was like, oh no, yeah, that's like a real thing. And they don't just message women, they message men, like, who have got like battered, you know, football feet that they like.
I mean, they like to do things and have the photographs. I can't imagine what they're doing. I've got the Gunge guy. The Gunge guy messages me all the time going, can you get gunged in a tank at Heart with the other presenters? Would you like to get gunged or eat a spider? Would you? And sometimes he says, do you want to get gunged in a jeans or a dress? It's like he really wants to know the specifics of my gunge.
What do you think he does with this information, Zoe?
I just don't know what gunging means. Does he mean a tank, like on like CDUK, or does he mean
that's
like?
That's what I was thinking. Oh my God, this is so weird.
Anyway, look. I'm just going to leave you with that.
I mean, what a lovely birthday chat. So
that's on my mind. Anyway, listen. As always, we would love you. Sorry about this. We'd love you to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. And if you do have time, please give us a little 5-star review. We would so love that because it just spreads the Made by Mama's word, and that's what we're all about.
Yeah, and please do drop us a message at Made by Mamas or on Zoe's own channel at Zoe Hardman, especially if you're after foot photos at Zoe Hardman. But yeah, thank you, and we'll see you on Friday.
Keep on gunging.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.